Brownsburg. That's been a long time ago, and that was about 1909. I don't have any report card or record of that, but I believe it was about 1909. And then from Brownsburg, I went to school at Green Hill. Now, the Green Hill School is now a residence. Families live there, and it's near Lumberville. Some of you must know where Lumberville, the village of Lumberville, is. How many know Lumberville? Oh, well, you know just about. How many people live in Lumberville now? Good. Well, that was a two-room school. There was a room above where the younger children were, and I had a teacher whom the children all called Miss Nellie. And I have a photograph of the school when I attended there, and Miss Nellie was there. She looked very different, but everybody loved her. She was very firm. Now, the school itself was like the little stone school here. Most of the schools in Silvery Township were probably the equipment and everything that was more or less the same. For instance, I remember a map case. There was a metal case that had the clothes, and then when you wanted to, when there was a teaching experience, the teacher would push up the lid of the case and the maps would be pulled down. And that map case was, a map case like that was in every school, and a big dictionary, Webster dictionary, on the windowsill. Most of the schools had deep windowsills, and the dictionary was there. And then, of course, there was no sanitation, no bathroom. You had to go to the bathroom outside in an outside toilet. And there was no electricity. So dark days, it was difficult, as I remember. No candles, no oil lamps. And then the water, there was no well, so to speak. The water had to be carried. And I remember when I was teaching, sometimes the children, that was a special privilege, because children like to get out of the classroom and take a walk, especially during the nice time of the year. And they would, sometimes the boys would be sure to have a frog get in the water. And they'd bring it back, and they'd look so surprised to see the frog there. And of course, I had to send it back again, you know. So this went on until I knew what they were doing, but I thought maybe they needed a little extra walk and would be perfectly right. But they told me later some of the things that I did, you know, when I was teaching, but how are we getting back to when I was school? I know at the Little Stone School here, I graduated from 8th grade. I had been attending Green Hill School, and my parents moved to the Christmas tree farm, the Crookses. Maybe some of you know, on 263, where Forrest Crooks has a Christmas tree farm. He sells trees at Christmas time. And I walked back and forth. We all walked. There was no transportation. The weather was very bad. Snowstorms. There were no school holidays. No school holidays as far as the snow was concerned. And no teachers' workshops except 1 week every year in the fall. Teachers went to what they called a teacher's institute in Doylestown. There were speakers, and then the teachers came back with new materials and interesting things for children. However, the equipment in each school was very scarce. When I started, I wrote on a slate. Now, I brought some of those artifacts. Maybe they were around or something. A slate. Now, I'm sure they know what slates are. Mm-hmm. This slate was never used. It wasn't my slate. And my grandfather had a slate, and my cousins, everyone worked with slates. And I'm not sure what year they started to use paper. But that, I can just, maybe I can just put these in here.
And then they can come up later.
And of course, they used pencil on that. And I started to tell you about getting the water, especially from the drinking water for the Little Stone School. The family next to the school was a family by the name of Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N, Preston. And they had a well outside with a pump, and so it was a very short distance to get the water. Now, the water was brought in And I think when I came over to the little stone scroll, it was a cooler, a large container. But we didn't have cups. We just all drank from the same cup, which would horrify people today. And nobody seemed to get sick. You know, as far as I'm concerned, there was concern, we had good attendance. And so that's where the water was taken from. Now the toilets, the outside toilets, I understand, were at the back of the building, one for boys and one for girls, that part. And of course, heating, there was a stove in the center of the room. I don't know if they've taken out that big block or not that was in the center. Is that still
there? I'm not sure.
Still there, yes.
Yeah. And there was a stove. That was for the stove. But later, when I taught, I also taught in that little stone school. Then there was a stove with a jacket, you know, a protector, so the heat would be sent around the room in a different manner. Because when you were near the stove, you were very warm, but the children who sat on the outside, they really were cold. And of course, the desks were double desks screwed to the floor. You couldn't move them. They were imagine almost 40 children. I don't have any record of how many people went, but I was in eighth grade when I moved from Lumberville over to the Solberry, and I think there were about 10 children in that eighth grade, and that was children from grades 1 through 8. No kindergarten. There were no kindergarten classes, and I think you were allowed to start to school if you were 6 within that year, but then I'm not sure about that either. But I think I started school probably when I was almost 6 years old. And then at the end of the eighth grade, you took what they called a county examination. You were examined in all of the subjects that you had been studying in the 8 years that you went to school. And social studies, it wasn't called social studies then, it was called geography and history and spelling and arithmetic, not mathematics, it was arithmetic. And writing, and physiology, the subject physiology rather than health. I have a report card that I had when I went to school, and this was sent home by the teachers every month, and it was graded in numbers from 100. Then I noticed that I got a high number for my behavior. And I think children in those days were very fearful of teachers because there were there was corporal punishment, that is spankings and so forth. And I'd like to read something. I know the reading isn't so good right now, but let me see. Did I bring my computer? This is from a book written by Mary Paxson, and it was written in. It was a diary. She was very young when she wrote this diary, and she lived in Carversville. And it was written on a butcher's order paper. Each parent, when the butcher would come around to get your order for the meat, he kept this record in a little book, because sometimes the parents didn't pay for it immediately, maybe at the end of the week and so forth. So this little girl wrote her diary, and she was quite faithful in it. And she started this in 1880. Of course, that's before my time. But she did go to school, the Carversville School, where I also taught. And this is quoting from the book. And her spelling and her capitalization, it was nothing. I mean, she just wrote as she thought the words were spelled. She says, it is Christmas, and it's another holiday that didn't come on a school day. She definitely liked her holidays to come on school days. They don't any holiday ever come only on Saturdays and Sundays. Now that's all she wrote for that special day. Then in 1881, I took this one. It's a new year, and it's been a good while since a year ago. My book isn't near full, and will be enough for another year. Today is New Year's Day because it commences 1881. That's why, and it's another holiday to come on a Saturday. February, here's another one. February 1st, 1881, it's a hard month to spell, and my birthday comes in it, only not for a terrible long time yet. Papa, now the parents. and Mama. Papa says I will never need a new diary if I keep writing at this rate. I just do the same things every day. I get up and I wipe the breakfast dishes, and Maggie, she had a sister named Maggie, Maggie makes our bed, and we go to school at 8 o'clock. Now, it wasn't very far to walk from her home. I know where she lived, to Carversville, so I suspect calling school was 8:30. We go to school at 8 o'clock, and we don't get home until 4:30, and then play some and set the table and take turns wiping the supper dishes, and I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. But Maggie can stay up until 8:30 because she is older, and that's why. I like to go to school, and I like to help Mama, and we study our lessons after supper, and I like all my lessons but mental arithmetic. Now, the mental arithmetic, the teacher would give out questions in arithmetic, and there was no pencil or paper, you just had to figure it up. And so the children, some of them liked it, some did not. I never liked it really, because I couldn't think fast enough. I like my dolls, only I haven't any real nice ones anymore. I have only 5, and there's something the matter with all of them. I want a new one, terribly bad, but Mama says I must be patient. That's what you have to wait for until mothers and fathers get ready. And then in February, another one. Papa visited our school today. He is a school director. I'm glad, for he can say no. Now, school director was what we call a member of the school board of education today. But they were supposed to visit the schools because there were more schools than the superintendent of public instruction, who had his office in Brasstown, could take care of it. So she was glad her father could say no. He said it about any more whippings. So evidently the teacher had been whipping some of the children, spanking them, and he said no more. I am learning history and literature at school now, and they are just splendid to study. My class has just commenced to study both of them, and we don't have books to study out of, but study off the blackboard. So much of the teaching was done from the blackboard. And at school with 8 grades, there were just few minutes between classes. I mean, each class would come forward to the front of the room and sit on a recitation bench, or benches, depending on how many children were in the class. And they would recite what they had studied, or the teacher would ask questions. But there was no teacher-pupil planning like there is today. And it took the whole day to hear the recitations and in all the subject areas.
So that's how the children were tested. They weren't, if you're using slates, they couldn't take a written test.
I don't remember any way they could do that. It was just their class work that was graded. I don't remember any tests except this 8th grade test, which was they were held at the various schools, because when I was attending 8th grade, there were many schools that were open at that time. They hadn't closed the little dumber schools. And they were written tests, and we were allowed paper at that time. There was no, I didn't take any tests on slate. But you could have your work erased on a slate. You'd be very careful getting all this done, and someone could, you know, turn around and just rub the elbow on the slate, and the work would be spoiled, you know, and of course that was done in some instances. Pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they have questions.
Do you have any questions? Would you like to ask questions? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I have a question. Mr. T said hello.
Mr. T said hello.
Oh, well, you know, I know Mr. T because he was one of my teachers when I was principal. In fact, he came right fresh from college. And I know Mrs. Brill. Well, I know some of the teachers. And Mrs. Bailey was in my first grade when I taught Carversville. So she was one time my little girl. And I know Mrs. Brill. You have a question?
How long have you been teaching at the school?
How long here? Yeah. I started teaching at Carver. Fathersville in a two-room school, and I taught there from 1922. I was allowed to teach at 18 years old, right out of high school. So I came, it was after the First World War, and they were, teachers were very scarce. So I was there from 1922 to 1938. And then I had a maternal leave because I had was expecting a baby. And so the school board gave me a year to stay home. Then I came over here at 1939, and I taught until 1940, and then I had another baby, so I stayed home again. So there were 2 years, actually, that I don't count in the 45 years I taught. So actually, 2 years, you subtract 2 years from 1939 till 1969, because that's when I retired. I retired in 1969. So there are 30 years right there. Right? Am I right? And so then I was principal in 1954. So actually I wasn't teaching from 1954 on, but I was in the school system. Yes?
The snowball, was that the thing that we used to teach? Was that a preschool, public school, or did you have to pay to go there?
No, I always taught in a public school. And I don't know if any, I think it's been a free school since it was established, but you might have to do some research on that. I don't think it was ever a, it was always free school.
What was the name of
Well, they just called it Carversville Primary and Carversville Grammar School. But I had the first four grades, and I'm going to tell you something about the first four grades. When I went to school, I had to go to school right out of high school for, I think it was 10 weeks. I had to go to Westchester to a Westchester is now a college, but it was called a normal school because there were 2 years that you were certified to teach. However, I wanted to teach the upper grades. I wanted to teach grades 5, 6, 7, 8. And my girlfriend went with me, and she wanted to teach the lower grades. So when we got our contracts, each teacher got a contract every year, and when my contract came, lo and behold, I was assigned to the lower grades, and my girlfriend was assigned to the upper grades, and we were so shy and didn't want to ask a lot of questions, so we accepted it. We never said a word about it. We just went ahead and did the teaching, and all our plans and everything had been made for the other class. So that was sort of strange, but it worked out. You have a question?
Is it true that if you were bad, you had to sit in the corner with the dunce cap on?
I didn't get that. Is it true that if you were bad, you had to sit in the corner with the dunce cap on?
Well, you know, I never did that. And I don't remember children being punished that way. I think some of them would have liked it. I guess that's the reason I never did it when I was in school. I sort of like to take care of it right there, you know. Had a little conference, but I know they did that.
Could you just send them home?
I never sent a child home. I just felt if they came to me, it was my job to do something about it, and I wasn't very good at giving up. I usually could win.
Would you have been able to do that if you wanted to, though? Just send them home?
Oh, yes. I think some of them would love to have been sent home. To get away from me. In fact, one little boy one time, I would keep him in. It was playtime, recess. And he didn't have his work done. I had said, no one goes to play unless the work is finished. And he was tricky. He thought he had red hair and green eyes. He was so cute. And he said that he started to walk out with the rest of them. And I said, you can't go. And he said, I don't like you. And I said, well, I didn't blame you. You know, if I were you, I wouldn't like me either. Now you just work hard and get away from it. You know, just skip a break. But I never sent children home. I never sent them home, even when I was principal. Oh, for diseases, you know, that was different if they were sick. But not for punishment, because I think it's important that teachers take care of it, and I think teachers can. Back in the back seat. Well, you know, I thought the worst children always need loving the most. principal, if a teacher would send a child down to me, I said, there are two things. You either need a rubbing or a spanking. Now, which do you want? And most of the time, they want to be loved. Because I think lots of them, they get real tricky, they just need to be loved. And then I called parents and asked permission to spank them, turn them over my knee. And as soon as the parent would say yes, I didn't have to do it because they're allowed to get more money to hunt it. But I think when I started teaching school, I had a lot of children whose parents didn't speak English. I had families, Bogajeska, Frobotnik, Metusky, Saran, many of the Zelnovich. I had a lot of children whose parents did not speak English. And those parents would say, you listen to the teacher, or you get punished when you get home. So I really had a good school. I mean, I thought it was good, and I thought the kids were good.
Even punishing, spanking without the liking?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I've shaken them, and sort of, so they come to terms, and swatted them, maybe.
I have another question. What was the landscape like around there?
The playground. Well, it was very rough, and it wasn't graded. You might be interested in some of the games they played. Would you be interested in some of the games they played? How many know what crack the whip is? They used to do that, I know. I used to see it. Mostly boys. They form a long line. You tell them how to play.
Get Mark, get up and tell them how to play.
Good.
Right, and you swing the group around, usually the one on the end gets thrown down. It's not too safe, but I mean, it's perfect. Yes?
You mentioned Kojas, and we live right down the road from now.
Michael Zelnevich? Is it on Street Road?
It's on Street Road.
Which road? Oh, yes, I had Mr. Zelnevich in school. In fact, he came to school one time when he was a guard at the prison, and I hadn't seen him for a long time, and he said, when he was little, there were two people who he was afraid of. And I said, you were? And he said, yes, his father and me. I had a lot of the Zelnevich children, and then and the Gogajeskis. There was a Gogajeski. I think they took the G.O. Yes.
You said they had recess at that school. Where did they have recess here?
At the Lowstone School on the playground.
Like right here?
That's no, not here. This wasn't developed. This isn't woods at that time. It was just the area you had around the Stone School. And you go over that little grade past the flagpole down there. That was the boundary line. Back of that building, the red building. That's all the larger it was. Now, I think Mrs. Kearney told me about Mr. Fox, who had been allowed to bring sleds to school. I think that probably, I don't remember sledding down there at school time.
Yeah. A neighbor of mine told a story that he went to that old stone building for 1 year, and he said that they used to go sledding. The kids would bring their sleds, and it would take a long time. They would go sledding down past the post office, and so it would take a long time to walk back up the hill. And so what they would do, they would continue going sledding, but they would stand outside the door until they saw it starting to open. And when they saw it opening, they would know that the teacher was coming out, so they'd all jump on their sled and go down the hill, because it would take them 15 minutes to get back up the hill. And she would come out with her bell.
Yes.
How much did you pay?
Oh, when I started teaching school, it was $85 a month. 1 month. And there were 9 months in a year, so I didn't get very much. But then everything else was cheaper. In fact, I did a little research on a book that was the Bicentennial Book, and teacher stories were in that. In Chester County, there was a teacher who pay $2.50 for board and room from Monday till Friday, and her salary was $40 a month. That was in 1909. And then when I started in 1922, it was $85, and a teacher who taught at Stony Hill School over Mrs. Federoff, her salary was $95 a month.
This is John Federoff. That's Mrs. Federoff's grandchild. Back here in the straight shirt right there.
Oh, yes. That's the father is Barry. Yes, well, I have Barry in school. Did you have a question?
No.
All right, the boy in the blue flag.
Well, what happened if someone got sick in school?
If someone got sick, well, you just took a chance. You had to walk home. I suppose that perhaps the older ones would walk with the younger ones. I just never got sick, but then in school. But I think that must have happened, although I don't remember children getting sick too much. We were a healthy bunch, I guess. You know, we had to walk to school and walk home again. And I remember I liked to work on the farm. I liked to help my father. So one morning I had a terrible headache, and I felt very bad because I knew he was going to pick corn up in the field. We had to pick it up by the horse and wagon and so forth. And as soon as it came 9 o'clock and the bell rang, I felt better. So my mother said nothing that day, and I went and helped my father all day, and I loved it. Next day I had another headache, and she said, "You'll feel better when you go to school." So she was on to my trick, so I went to school. I didn't like going to school either, by the way, but I was in a long time. You can get to like it.
But the teacher
would get, there were substitutes. There were substitutes. But not today. If she felt ill in school, I guess she had to wait till the end of the day, because I don't remember any changing teachers. Because the teacher really lived in the community most of the time, unless she was fortunate enough to have somebody bring her every day. And your question?
What was the first time?
Means of transportation? Well, there really wasn't any bus when I was going to school. There wasn't any. But in snowy days, I remember if it was very snowy, my father used to bring us with a horse and sleigh. And it was very rainy. Well, then he would drive us to school. It was a continuous rain. He wasn't too busy on the farm. See, I lived on a farm. And a farmer gets very busy. Of course, wintertime, he's not as busy. He isn't busy in the fields. And so they had to depend on the horse and wagon. And the first year I taught school, I walked from Solbury to Carversville back and forth every day. And the second year, I had a little Bronco. Now, I was telling somebody about a Bronco, and they thought it was an automobile. This was a horse. And I rode him back and forth to Carversville. And in the second year, and then the third year, I lived up there. Yes. With a thatcher here. We didn't have an incinerator, but I think we used there. When I went to school, there wasn't that much paper because we had slates and slate pencils. But later, when the chance to use paper, I think we used it and saved it to start fire. You know, to start the fire in the stove. As sort of the kindling on the small pieces of wood to get it to burn. But we used coal. Coal was in the little stone school too. The coal cellar was underneath, and then there was a stairway leading from the little stone school to get the coal. And the boys used to bring it up in buckets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning of the day, you'd have to bring coal.
Well, they liked to. There was no special assignment, but the teacher would appoint someone to do that, and as I told you before, the boys especially liked these errands to get out of the classroom and do little chores, because all day long you did a lot of sitting. There wasn't much moving, and the classroom had to be quiet. You know, there wasn't the talking, you know, the visiting or, you know, a little conferencing like you can with units of work that you're working at. And I didn't hear a question from this boy over here.
What did they do when they wanted to eat? Did they bring food?
Yes, they brought, I remember it was either a basket, a little basket. I don't think boys brought baskets. But the girls brought baskets, and boys usually had what they called a lunch pail. It was a tin little container with a lid that fastened. There was a little something you could pull at the top, like a little circle. And it was a lunch pail made of tin. Now, I was thinking the other day, what did my mother wrap the sandwich in? Because I remember she made things. She made bread. She made cake. And some of the children who had store cakes, especially those little iced Mary Ann's, they used to want my cake. They'd want to trade because my mother made the cake herself, and I guess their mother was probably too busy to send it. But I don't remember fruit in the lunchbox. But that's what, and she must have wrapped it in a cloth napkin, I think. I don't remember wax paper or cellophane or lunch, those little baggies, none of that. There wasn't anything in there. And the girl back here.
Where is the Carversville School now?
Carversville School? It's a residence. It's at the corner of the Acquitom Road and the road that leads past Prince's. Mrs. Hagen left, didn't you? Irving Road? Oh, Sawmill, that's right. And it's a residence. Mrs. Pritchard lives there, a woman that I know. Mrs. Pritchard. Pardon? Okay, and the girl?
What's the
The punishment, what did you
do? Oh, the punishment.
What kind of things did they do to get punished?
Oh, what did they do to get punished? No one was eager to do anything to get punished. Because you get your report card every month, and I think parents were very strict. They believed the teacher was the one who took care of this, and they weren't eager to have their parents know about it. I know my mother and father would have been most unhappy if I had not had a good mark in, they called it behavior, because they would have questioned. And I had great respect for my parents and for the teacher, and I didn't do anything to get punished. You know, I knew the rules. You have to learn the rules. Okay, Bill?
What color was your boy in school?
Well, he was gray. He was gray. He was little. And he didn't like many people. He would kick and bite and all sorts of things, but he liked me, and I liked him.
Okay, Bill.
When I taught school, I did, but I don't remember parties when I went to school. I don't remember. The teacher was very busy, but I liked to give parties to my children because they were also good. We had Valentine's Day parties and all kinds of holiday parties. And we used to, like, make ice cream, you know, in the classroom, and they'd always like that. Yes. Oh, spelling bees. Well, you know, when I went to school on a rainy day, I thought maybe somebody would ask me what happened on a rainy day, because we usually had an hour lunch, and they played outside on good days. But on rainy days, the teacher would conduct a spelling bee, and I was always fearful. I wasn't too good a speller, and I was always, you know, you didn't want to miss the word, because I always felt very self-conscious about it. But that took up a lot of the noontime. You know, with a spelling bee. That was one thing I remember at lunchtime. And outside, boys played marbles. I don't believe boys play marbles anymore, do you? You know, you make a circle, and then you have a shooting marble. And I used to have the contest for my children, because some of mine were very good marble shooters. And then the boys who would win would have a chance to go to the rest down to a tournament. So he did like that. And I always took my fourth grade to the movies, because a lot of those children never got to the movies. And before they went to the next classroom, I took them to a good movie, and they had supper at my house. And I know one little girl who never got ice cream too much. She was so full when she finished her supper that she wanted to know if she could take her ice cream home. And there was no, I didn't have any thermos or any way to carry it. And that was a lot of fun. There were never more than 15 children, so it wasn't too much of a chore. Yes?
Were specials like art and...
Only what the teacher could do. If the teacher could, if she had a talent for teaching it, Otherwise, you had books, all kinds of plan books, when I was teaching. And there would be ways in which you could teach drawing. It was mostly drawing. There wasn't too much in imagination, but it was measurement and that was the sort of thing. You didn't have a special teacher come in. There were no special teachers. None at all. Yes? Well, yes, Christmas and Thanksgiving, but no extra days. I think we went to school the day after Thanksgiving, and we went to school probably the day after Christmas. Because we were out early in the year, in May sometimes, because the boys especially had to help their parents on the farm. Boys had to work on the farm, and so the parents didn't want the school to continue too long. Yes? What kind of what? Clothes? Well, I remember wearing long underwear in cold weather. And I wasn't small, and I really always felt, you know, so buxom. And it was wool, mostly wool in the winter, because there were dresses and stockings, knee stockings, I guess. I mean, I remember black ones. And jumpers, I remember wearing jumpers with the blouses. And the boys, when I was teaching school, I never saw sneakers. I don't remember ever seeing any sneakers when I was in the school at all. But now it's the thing. They used to wear what they called boots. They were felt at the top, felt, made of felt, very cumbersome, with a sort of a rubber, I guess, a rubber boot at the bottom, so they would, that those children, it would be wet-proof, and it was very cumbersome for the children all day long to sit with those boots on. It must have been uncomfortable, but nobody complained. It wasn't an era of complaining. Mm-hmm. Yes?
When you went to school, was there a Sandbridge school?
Sandbridge school?
Where was it?
It was, it's near, you come out of the village, it's on the left-hand side, as you go toward Camp Pleasant, it's up on a little grade, I guess it's a residence now. It's near where the orchards were, you know where they are. There's one at Center Bridge, one at Chestnut Grove, over on Acton Road, at the corner of Acton and Green Hill Road, and there was one at Acton, Stony Hill, Highland, is near Nakashima's, on the other side of the road, and there, Carversville, and the one at Cottageville, outside of Carversville, was closed before I started teaching, near where the Majinsky stood. Those questions in my head. Here, let's just go with the picture.
Assigned seats.
Yes. And I think I think some were larger than the others, and I think it depended on your size. They tried to fit them, they bet much, but they weren't adjustable, so if you were, you know, you could be having the wrong desk many times, you know, for posture, for good posture. Yes, over here.
Do your chairs up to your desk?
Yes, the desk itself had a seat, and they were just graduated in that way. And then the desk back, there was a seat. So they were really packed in. The children were really packed. They were very close to each other. Yes?
Where did they hold the books?
Where did they hold them? Well, they put it in this desk. And they don't have an old desk, do you?
No, I don't know if they've ever seen desks
like that.
Okay.
They
were
kind of
rough.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is the desk. This was the seat, the desk in front of it. Okay, it would go something like this, right? And then they would be on the runner. And looking like that. And the books were here, in this row here. This was the area. So this way you could have 10 children right in a row. The desk.
And some of them would lift. There were desks that would lift. The lift would lift. And then you could close that so you could be writing on that. Yes.
Anybody go barefoot?
Is that right?
Can anyone go barefoot?
because the floors, I know they had years before, I think in the good weather they did, but the children that came to me in 1922, I don't remember any of them barefoot. But because the floors were rough and it would be dangerous because it could be spluttered, you know. And I don't know what, maybe when my grandmother was a teacher also, and she taught in the little school that is now a Episcopal church. And that was also a school because my sister went to that school when it was in session. Phillips. They call it Phillips School. Phillips Mill School, I guess. Or just Phillips School. So I don't remember anyone barefoot. Yes. Pardon?
Me?
Yes.
Taxes?
Well, I think it mentions in this sheet that you were interested in.
Yeah, well, duplicate these for you, so you'll each have a sheet.
Right. Well, it mentions in this little, you'll be getting one of these. I think they were very low on my problems. Oh, I don't see it then. I know something like maybe 5, 10, I mean, the taxation was very... Very low. Maybe you could find out.
Okay.
And that was an interview that someone from the Trenton Times called me and wanted some information.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes?
Can I go to that little question? When did they start using
U.S.? That's right. The U.S. is actually Israel. And I'm not sure when they did that. I guess when the new desks came, we didn't have any. We had some desks on runners after they were, after they'd been screwed down, then new methods were advised and school districts couldn't buy. They didn't have enough money to buy these new modern desks. They would take several of these desks and put them on boards, runners, so to speak. And then, I guess that was about the time, maybe soon after, I would say in the 20s probably.
And the other way is when the when the depression came, how many schools were supposed to close down?
I don't think they closed too much during the depression. I don't think because the enrollment became very low, and that forced consolidation. That's what this school was called first. It was the Stone School where Mr. Tiefenthaler and where you in the basement have your special interest group. That was all there was when I came over here to teach. And there were just a very few teachers. And in fact, I have a picture of the teachers you'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I only have a few that maybe at this point you can pass around some of the things. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Pass it around.
And
we'll
show you some of the
things that she has.
And this one is Hope. Is her name Hope?
Yes, Hope Corrigan.
Hope Corrigan's uncle was painted here because this is my last first grade. And Ms. Schmeg took the class, and I know most of the children, but there were a few, I wasn't sure. That's when I was teaching.
And you were this big.
That's 1954. See, that's more recent. Now, this is in 1916. This is the year because Helene Ross was my teacher. And she started me off in eighth grade, and of course, I'm bigger than the teacher. Right in the center.
Okay. Mrs. Cowles is right in the center.
And I was stepped over to drop you to school. And then this was the teachers I was telling you about. And the Mrs. Caswell, you don't remember these names, but Mrs. Caswell was teaching at Greenhill. Mrs. Roach was teaching at the Akraton. Mrs. Butler was teaching at the Chestnut Road. And I was teaching Scarborough. And Mrs. Mason was teaching at Sanford's residence in the grammar school because it was just for race. Mrs. Fitting, whose son is a real estate man, Lou Fitting, his mother was teaching in the Little Stone School. And Miss Wright, Miss Wynn was teaching at Highland School. And Esther Bird was teaching with me at the hall. So you can see how the teachers dressed. And then this was when I went to school in Green Hill, and this is a teacher, Miss Nellie. turned in and her eyes turned in. And she was different looking, but everybody loved her. Miss Molly Stout. And you could see some of the boys, much of the promotion was done on reader. You had to complete readers. For instance, Dr. Jennings, Trimmer, the first reader, second reader, and third reader. If you didn't complete the reader, you stayed back in the grade. So it was promotion wasn't the was this
a
computer?
Yes.
This must have been about 1912, I guess. I'll have to guess at that. That's the Green Hill School, the way it looks. And this is the this is a 1924 one. And this will go back. They all look angry. I don't know what I did to you. But this is Mrs. Bailey. I think I started that 1909. when we went to these institutes, this educational week, the teachers said, they all brought back samples. And I remember using this one. I don't know what happened about it. And the arithmetic book, Wentworth and Smith, I remember using that in the primary school, in the lower grade. And this is a geography book, very reference in geography, and the boy's name is from Green Hill, and Harry Briggs, I remember him. He's not living anymore. And this was a copyright of 1885, and it is purely geography. In fact, I was fascinated with geography, especially Bolivia, because it had no coastline, and I always thought if I ever traveled, I wanted to go to Bolivia. And I was very fortunate when I, in 1968, the year before I retired, the school board from Cochabamba, Bolivia, sent money for me to go down to a cooperative school, and I went and teenagers who had sergeants there, the tin mines, and I saw llamas, and it was just a wonderful trip. So I always remember that from my geography. That's a little trip. I don't think I had much else as far as art about it. I couldn't find, but this is a little inkwell or ink pot. They had a little glass that fitted in there. And they used the pen, and this is a pen holder with a little pen. And you had to fasten it. I'm sure some of you have used it. And then they would dip it in and write. And I think that's it. And of course, the next is the fountain pen. I don't know if you know what fountain pen is.
How many people have used the fountain pen?
It has the barrel and automatically fills. And that was the next thing, the fountain pen, before the ball one. I think that was the diseases. I was thinking of the diseases. They had chickenpox, measles, mumps, whooping cough, and you were quarantined. You had to have a sign on your door. You couldn't stay away from school. No one would come in. For strangers. I just, when I went to school, I had slaves, but I didn't teach them the slaves. Yes.
quietly go back to the plane.
It's combined with all the whole class. And I'm actually